I'm going to try to do just one verse today in this particular text. I've been looking at it. And Isaiah, I talked through the book of Isaiah some years back. It was the hardest book I ever studied. I mean, ever taught through. It was either for me, it was harder to do Isaiah than it was Revelations, because it's sometimes hard to determine whether Isaiah's talking back there where he was or down at the second coming. That's how Isaiah works. It's a deep book. And it took me a couple of years to get through the book of Isaiah. So haven't been in it much since I've done that, really. And it's just filled with great Bible truth. And what I'm going to do today is just deal with Isaiah 25 and the verse 1. And I'm going to title the message, Wonderful, Wonderful Things. Wonderful Things. Verse 1. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will. See, notice all the I wills. This is something He's determining to do. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today that we have the privilege of coming into Your house today. And Lord, we're thankful to celebrate a Father's Day, and we're thankful for all the fathers that are here today also. And Father, we pray that You would continue to add to this little church that we have here in Bancroft, and we pray that You continue to save souls and add new members, Father, to the church as You see fit. Father, we pray Your blessing tomorrow upon the radio broadcast, that the Holy Spirit would use that to reach someone, and perhaps someone that might come and don't have a church home, maybe come in to visit us sometimes. And we pray that You use the internet ministry also to bring souls and to save souls. Father, we love You, and we thank You for the many blessings. You are our Heavenly Father, Lord, and we celebrate You today. Hadn't been for You, Lord, we would still yet be in our sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Wonderful things, and we're just going to look at this verse. It probably won't take me very long this morning, but I want you to look back at Isaiah 25 and the verse 1, and it says, O Lord. Now, I've told you this many times in the past, but when you see the word Lord with four capital letters, y'all remember what that means? That's the name Jehovah. There's several names used for God in the Scriptures. Elohim is another one. But the name Lord in four caps, it's talking about the God of Israel, whose name was what again? Jehovah. And the word Jehovah means the existing one. And what that means is that He's always been, and He always will be. That's the idea of it. He had no beginning, and He has no end. That's the idea of the word. That's the reason why His name is called Jehovah. In Psalms 83 and verse 18, I wrote this down for you. It says, Thou whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. So there's many names. I did I've given you a lot of the names of the Lord that the Bible uses for Him. But the name Jehovah is, you might say, His proper name. He is the existing one, the God who has always been and the God who always will be. Having no beginning. Imagine that. Having no beginning and having no end. How can that be? He's God. He's God. Some of these things you just have to, I don't know how it can be that way, but we're talking about God. God is over everything, and His existence has always been. You go back, I know the world's 6,000 years old. And God goes back into eons of time past, and He's always been. Can you ever try to explain that to a young child? It's sometimes hard to do. God has always been. He had no creator. He had no. That's why he's called Jehovah. No beginning, no end. That's our God. And it amazed me as I think about, it's hard to explain, isn't it? But it amazes me, though, that such a great God as he would choose to save a sinner like me. That blows my mind. I don't understand that. But he has. He chose to set his affection and his love upon an old hell-bound sinner like Jeff Arthur. And I never got over that. I still think if I get teary-eyed over that all the way down the day, and I hope I stay teary-eyed over it. Because if it wasn't for his grace and his mercy and his revealing, he revealed himself to me. He did. Now, I realize he revealed himself to you. But that's just how much he loved you. I'm not deserving of that kind of love. But he did. I'm just an old sinner. And we like to say we're just an old sinner saved by grace. That's true. Grace means it's unmerited. I didn't deserve to be saved. I didn't earn being saved. But God the Father, in the counsels of eternity past, set his affection and his love on Jeff Arthur. All God's people said. Now, I made that personal this morning. But he also did that for you. You hear that day this morning again, he did the same thing. He knew what you was. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew you when you died on Calvary's cross to pay your sin debt. He knew you. And he loves you. He's a great God, isn't he? But he loved me. He knew everything about me, but yet he loved me anyhow. I ain't never forgot it. And that means a lot. That means a lot to me. Does that mean a lot to you? He's the existing one, always been. And when did he become acquainted with you? When did he become acquainted with me? Oh, before the world ever began. You think God just all of a sudden knew you the day you were saved? No, he knew you since before the world ever began. He did. All God's people said. I don't know. Lisa sings a song when he was on the cross, eyes on his mind. It says, one of the parts of that song says, he knew me, yet he loved me. Y'all like it? He knew me, yet he loved me. Well, that's the existing one. That's Jehovah. That's the God of Israel. So that's the meaning of the word Lord. Those four caps, every time you read that, that's Jehovah. That's the existing one. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who we're talking about when you talk about him. That's who he is. Now, let's move on to the next part. I preached that long on, oh Lord. Notice what the next part is. Now, this is personal. I told you who the four caps, why it's four. Anytime you see the Lord, it's the name Jehovah, the existing one, the God of Israel. Now, the next part of it has, it's a personal part. This is a personal thing in the next part. Notice what it says. Thou art my God. See, that's personal. He didn't say thou art a God. Thou art my God. Psalmist makes it personal. The God of glory, the God of who created the heavens and the earth, the God that sent his son to die for our sin debt on Calvary. He says, thou art my God. It's personal. There's a great host of people that know that there's a God, but they've never made it personal to themselves. Sometimes I'll talk to people, especially if it's somebody that's passed, I mention this a whole bunch, and sometimes I'll ask them, I say, were they saved? Because that's what preaches a service, y'all agree? Did they know the Lord? Did they trust the Lord? Well, I know they believed that there was a God. I said, I'm not asking that. I know that they believe that there's a God, but that's not what salvation is. You got to do more than just to believe that there's a God. You got to make it personal. And you got to trust Jesus as your Savior. You got to make it personal to yourself. This is a personal thing with me. I know God saves sinners, but I know God saved me. It's a personal thing. He's my God. I love Him so. I don't mind to tell you this morning, I love Him so. There's nobody like Him. I don't know why He loves somebody like me. That's grace. I don't know why He loved me. I was a rotten, no good for nothing, nothing. And really still am. But God, in His grace, revealed Himself to me. He seen to it that Jeff Arthur heard the gospel message. He seen to it that God, you know, the Scripture says that He gives us thus an understanding to know Him that is true. You know why you understand today? It's because you're smart. Well, I tell you why it is. You're smarter than everybody else. No. Scripture says He's given us an understanding to know Him that is true. So if you have the understanding of knowing who Jesus is today, I want you to understand if you don't get nothing about what I say today. Nothing from it. I want you to understand that the reason why you know, that understanding you have, I want you to get this. God gave you that understanding. That's why you understand. That's why you see it. We sing a song, Amazing Grace, and the Bible makes it clear that it's true. Before we were saved, we were blind. Amazing Grace says, I was blind, but now what? I just want you to answer this to yourself today. Who opened your blinded eyes so that you could see and understand? Did you do that by yourself? Or did God give you the understanding of it? God give you understanding of it. Now you see. I was blind. Now I see. God's the one that done that. See, that's a personal part. So not only did Jehovah, not only do we see the name Jehovah here, but He says, Thou art my God. That's a personal thing. And if you're here today, I hope you can make that personal. I hope the God of heaven is your God. Because I'm going to tell you again for the 1,000,000th time probably, when you die, what matters is whether or not you know Christ as your Savior. I guess there's some people that aggravate me to death about these things. What is being successful in this world? What is being successful? We like to always talk about, well, we want our children to be successful. What is being successful? According to Psalms 90, the average lifespan's 70 70 years. And if by reason of strength you live 10 more years, you know, 80 years. Psalm says it's soon over. That's what the Scripture says. It's soon over. And then you do what? Fly away. And what makes a difference on that day you fly out of here is where you fly away to. We sing a song here, I'll Fly Away. Don't sing it very much, but I like it. I like that song, that old hymn, I'll Fly Away. Every one of us is going to die if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime. Where will you fly away to? Where will you go? Will you go to be with the Lord? What is a success? What is somebody that's successful? Who are the people that are successful? People that own the houses and the big man, I seen a lot of big mansions down there at the beach, boy. Whew! It'd take a week to walk around one of them, I think. Massive ones. But on the day that whoever owns that massive place, whoever owns that mansion, on the day that they die, do they take it with them? No, it'll stay here for somebody probably to fight over. All that stays behind. All your earthly possessions stays behind. You don't take it with you. True riches is being born again. Y'all agree? True riches is having eternal life. True riches is having a home in the Father's house. I may die if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime. You'll die too. But what's important is when I die, I'll just go off to be with Jesus. I'll still be living just a whole lot better and in a whole lot better place. Y'all agree? It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have that in your heart. That's what I want for our children. I do. That's what we all want for our children, isn't it? Success. Success without Christ? Are you a success without Jesus? No. Are you a success without eternal life? Well, is it they call them, they have them big sales after somebody, maybe somebody was rich, they have them beat. Oh, they call them estate sales. Maybe the rich man that owned that estate dies, you know, and didn't have no heirs for it. And then they have a what kind of sale? An estate sale. All those possessions get sold off for somebody, perfect strangers to take over. It is true. You don't take it with you. You know, some of the pharaohs tried to do that, didn't they? They had them. They even put some of their servants in their grave places, and they put all the riches in their grave places. They tried to do what? They tried to take it with them. Then you go in there, you find a mummy, but you usually don't find the money because someone stole it all. Horrible, horrible, to live that way. Listen to me. I think probably everybody here today believes, probably. Now, I don't know everybody. I think everybody here today believes in God, believes that there's a God. But you got to do more than that. The Pharisees believed that there was a God. They were lost men because they rejected who? They rejected the Savior. They believed in Jehovah God, but they didn't believe in Jesus. See, the key of salvation is Jesus. You got to trust Jesus as your Savior. If you don't trust Him, you'll die in your sin. That's just how it is. That's just true. So, we've looked at four caps, and we talked about Jehovah. We looked at the personal part here. Is that thou art my God. Can you say that today? Can you say that thou art my God, my God? Well, I'm thinking about it, then he's not your God. You got to make that thing personal. You say, yes, he's my God, and I want him as, and I want him, and I want him as my Savior. And the Holy Spirit works on a person's heart so that they desire that. I believe in irresistible grace. I think it's when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of an old dead sinner, it's irresistible. Poor Stewie Buck there. He's the greatest example I ever seen in my life of irresistible grace. I was up here getting everything ready for church, you know. And someone walked up. It's in during Sunday school. I don't know why Stewie. It was before Sunday school even started, wasn't it? I witnessed to him for years, off and on. Told him about how to be saved. Well, I guess that Sunday morning the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of his heart. And I was up there getting everything ready, and there comes Stewie. Typical Stewie. And I thought, well, now somebody's made him mad. He came up here to the front of this pew, front of this pulpit. I want to get saved. I want to get saved right now. And I don't want to wait till the end of the service. Because you could die before the service is over, right? He knew that. He trusted Jesus, and he's been with us ever since. Still, he made it personal. He knew Jesus was a Savior, but now he made it personal to himself. You need to make it personal today. If you never have, you need to make it personal today. Number three, he said, I will exalt thee. I will exalt thee. What are some of the ways that we exalt him? Yeah, I like to exalt Jesus means you lift him up. You lift him up. And you know when you're born again and you know what you was and know what you are and you know what God did for you, it makes you want to lift him up. I mean, one of the reasons why we sing is to sing praises to him for what he's done for us. So, singing isn't a warm-up. Singing's worship. We don't do that good enough sometimes because we're singing, we're thinking about what we're going to eat after church or something. You know what I mean? Hey, but God wants you to sing to him, and he wants you to do it from your heart. So he says, I will praise thy name. Now, how do you praise him? I'm just going to give you a few things here. You praise him, number one. How do you praise him? We exalt him by trusting him as Savior, for one thing. That's where it starts at. You praise him by trusting him as your Savior. Number two, another way we exalt him is by giving him thanks. And let's turn to Psalms 105. I put a note down there so I'd turn to it. Well, I get to preaching and I'll just roll right over everything if I'm not careful. Psalms 105. Here's some of the ways that we exalt him. And it's listed right here in Psalms 105, 1 and 2. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Do you ever give God thanks? How many of you give God thanks? Raise your right hand. Do you do it every day? Do you give him thanks? He's worthy of our... We praise him by giving him thanks. I sometimes get to walking and talking to the Lord, you know, and I start thanking him for the things that he's done for this old hell-bound, worthless sinner named Jeff Arthur. And I get to walking, and I get to thinking about what he'd done for me, and I'll cry like a little girl going out to Plymouth Hollow sometimes. It tears me all to pieces. When I think that the great God of heaven loved me so much that he provided his darling son to go to go to Calvary's cross to pay my sin debt, and I know me, and I'm worthless, but that's what he did for me. It tears me up. I give him thanks. I give him thanks. So, he says, I'll exalt thee. And here's the ways you do it. Number one, you give by giving God thanks. You thank him every day for salvation. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Do you give thanks to God for your salvation? Every day I thank him. Where would you be if it wasn't for God's grace that he bestowed upon you? Where would you be? Old Saul of Tarsus was a covetous old sinner. And God saved him, and he never got over it. I've never got over it. I hope I never do. I hope I never do. Give thanks unto the Lord every day for what he's done for you and what he's given you in salvation. That's spiritual blessings. We could talk about all the material blessings and other blessings that he's done, but give God thanks for what he's done for you. Number two, call upon his name. That's another way we give God thanks, is by calling him on his name and just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming my life from destruction. Thank you, Lord, for the material blessings that you've given me that I can't number. Thank you, Lord. You ought to do that every day of your life. It might make you cry a little bit, I hope. We've got too, I don't know, I think sometimes you get too hard. I like for people to be tender when it comes to the things of God. Because these blessings are tremendous. Give God thanks. That's the way we exalt the Lord. Well, you're exalting him when you're giving him thanks. You call upon his name. Call upon his name. And you make known his deeds amongst the people. Has he done great things? Yeah, you share that with people. What God's done, you make his deeds known. What else do? You sing, verse 2. You sing unto him. You sing psalms unto him. God likes to hear you sing. You might not be able to sing a lick. Me and Stewie sounds like a freight train going by. Amen. Yeah, boy, we do. Me and Stewie can let her fly. But we sing. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. God likes to hear his people sing to him. The book of Psalms was the hymn book of Israel. 150 chapters. He likes singing. He likes for his people to sing to him. Not just to sing, but to sing to him. You say, well, I can't sing. Well, I can't either. I'm just loud. But you can hum it at least. Or you can read the words to it. You can open the hymn book and read the words to it, can't you? And you could pray that hymn to him. Just don't sit there like a knot on the log. Do something. But give him praise. Give him praise. See? Exalt him. So we exalt him that way, see? Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Now notice what else it says. Talk of his wondrous works. It says talk of him. Talk of his wondrous works. I like to do that with people sometimes. Sometimes somebody will visit me and we'll sit down and you know what we'll do? We'll talk of his wondrous works. We'll talk of the wondrous things that he did. I love to talk about the Lord, don't you? And I'll talk about his wondrous works just in casual conversation. Not just in church, but outside of church. I talk of his wondrous works. I like to talk to people that like to talk about Jesus and the wondrous things that he's done for us. That's the way we exalt him. It's the way we lift him up. It's the way we lift him up. Okay? Number four, this is the last one. Back to Isaiah 25. It says, O Lord, thou art my God. So Jehovah, thou art my God. Personal. What will you do? He says, I'll exalt you. I'll lift you up. That's the idea of it. He says, I will praise thy name and thy counsels of old are faithful and true. Notice in the middle part of verse 25, this is the last one I'm going to use here today. I don't want to miss this. It says, thou hast done what? How many believe the Lord's done wonderful things? Raise your right hand. He's done what? Wonderful things. I want you to leave this building today knowing that God has done wonderful things for you. Amen. Now, we know that God has done wonderful things for other people. We know in Israel in the past, he's done wonderful things. But I want you to know something. I want this church to make it personal to themselves. He's done wonderful things for me. There's a text, I think it's Psalm 73. You can't number the wonderful things that he's done for you. Scripture says, if I speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. You can't number them. He's done wonderful things. He's done wonderful things for me. Number one, he's created. I'm going to give you five real quick, and I'm going to quit. My purpose today was to exalt Jesus and exalt my God. Amen. And to help you realize even more what you have in him and what he's done for you and how great he is. You talk about condescending to someone, that's what he did. He took flesh so he could pay your sin debt. He took flesh. He took a body of flesh so that he could die for you. He's immortal, so he can't die. So he had to take a body of what? Flesh, so he could be born under the law so that he could go and pay your sin debt on Calvary. That's what he had to do to save somebody like me, and that's what he did. God loved me so much that he sent his son here to pay the debt that I could not pay myself so that I could live forever with him. I can't fathom that kind of love. An old song comes to mind, why did he love me so? I don't know. But he did. Five wonderful things the Lord has done. Number one, he's created all things. Y'all agree? He created it. He spoke it all into existence. It's goofy. I'm sorry. It's goofy to think that an explosion could cause order. That just don't make no common sense at all. Have you ever seen an explosion cause order? An explosion causes disorder. And if a person has trouble with Genesis 1:1, then they'll have trouble with the whole book. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made it. Makes more sense to think you had anything else you see that has order and design, you just assume that there was a designer. When you see anything that's made, you assume there's a designer. One human cell is more complex than the most elaborate computer made by man. And you have 6 trillion cells in your body. All God's people said. That screams designer is what that does. All right. He created all things. Number two, he provided his son as a sin substitute. Y'all think that's a wonderful thing? Number three, he quickened us and made us alive. What's the word quicken mean again? Do y'all all know it? What's the word quicken mean? He makes you alive. What was you before you were saved? I'm asking you. You were dead. Ephesians 2 says you were dead. You wasn't a little sick. You were dead. Hear this Baptist preacher. You were a spiritual corpse. You were a spiritual Lazarus in the tomb that couldn't do anything till Jesus come and said, Lazarus, come forth. And out of that tomb he come. He did that the day he saved your soul too. He made you alive, and he drawed you to himself. He quickened you with the Spirit of living God, and he changed you forever. Amen. That's what he did.
Amen.
That's what he did, man. He created all things. He provided his son as a substitute. He quickened us, and he made us alive, but he also made us his children. He could have saved us maybe without making us children, but not only that, he saved us and made us children. I'm his child. I'm a child of the King. Jeff Arthur is a child of the King. My dad's a child of the King. My wife's a child of the King.
Amen.
Number 5. Turn to Psalm 73. I'm going to stop with this. You don't ever give a preacher a week off. Never do that. Psalm 73. Here's the last. I'll give you 5. I'm not going to go over them again. Psalm 73, written by Asaph. Notice what it says. This is the last thing. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Does God guide you with his counsel? What's God's counsel? Right here. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. All God's people say.
Amen.
Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Billy Wick, I'm going to heaven. I don't know when I'm going. I may go by death, or I may go by rapture, but I know I'm going. I don't know how anybody in this world could live. I realize men are dead, though. Without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days. What difference does it make in life if you don't have eternal life? I got eternal life. I'm going to leave out of this place one of these days, either by death or rapture, and I'm going to go off to be with Jesus. I don't know if everybody here today is saved or not. I don't. But if you're here today, and it's more than believing, I just want you to know it's more than believing there's a God. The demons believe that there's a God and tremble. But to be saved, you got to ask Jesus. Listen. You got to ask Jesus to save you. You don't have to do somersaults to get saved. You just got to realize you're a sinner, and you realize that Christ died on Calvary for your sins and rose again the third day. And then you ask him, Lord, save me. What did the thief on the cross do to get saved? I'm just asking you. Everybody here probably knows about the thief on the cross. What did he do in order to get saved? He said, Lord, remember me. Probably felt like he was too bad to go. I can understand why he would think that. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Realize he had a kingdom. And right there on that cross, Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. What about that man's sin? In full, wasn't it? What about righteousness? Don't it take righteousness to go to heaven? Yes. How much, though? It takes 100%. I mean, 100%. When you trust Jesus, he gives you his righteousness. And he charges your sin to him. That's what it means to be saved. And I want you to hear me. God can do that for you today if he's touched your heart. All God's people said. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this morning.